Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Heritage Foods Q3 and 9M FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hiral Keniya from Dickenson World. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings call of Heritage Foods Limited for Q3 and nine months FY22. Today, we have with us the management represented by Mrs. N. Brahmani, Executive Director, Dr. M. Sambasiva Rao, President, Mr. A. Prabhakar Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Shridip M. Kesavan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. J. Sambamoorthy, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Umakant Barik, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that the remarks today might include forward-looking statements, and actual results might differ materially from those contemplated by forward-looking statements. Any statement that we make on this call today is based on our assumptions as on the date, and we have no obligations to update this statement as a result of new information or future events. I would now invite Dr. M. Sambasiva Rao from Heritage Foods to make his opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Hiral. Very good evening to each one of you who joined the call today to discuss financial and operating performance of quarter three and first nine months of the current financial year. The results presentation has already been uploaded on the exchanges and on our website, and some of you must have got a chance to look at it. Now, I'll give an overview of the financial and operational highlights of quarter three and first nine months of the year. Consolidated revenue for quarter three grew by 10% year-on-year at 6,670 million, with the increase in sale of milk and value-added products. EBITDA during quarter three stood at 392 million rupees as compared to 773 million in previous year quarter three. EBITDA margin stood at 5.9% as against 12.8% in quarter three last year on account of mainly higher raw material costs. During the quarter, PAT stood at 208 million. Let me now take you through nine months numbers. Consolidated revenue for nine months grew by 7% year-on-year at 19,854 million on account of, again, higher sale of milk and value-added products. EBITDA during nine months stood at 1,550 million as compared to 2,204 million in nine months of last year. EBITDA margin stood at 7.8% during nine months of current year. PAT during nine months stood at 839 million. Our wholly owned subsidiary, Heritage Nutrivet, sales stood at 246.7 million in quarter three as against 297.4 million during the last year's same quarter. EBITDA stood at 11 million in the current quarter as against 29 million during the previous year. PBT during the current quarter is 0.3 million versus 20 million during the last year. Company has a strong balance sheet with debt-free status and cash and bank balance of 662 million as on 31st December 2021. Now, moving on to the volume performance. The average milk procurement during quarter three was at 1.2 million liters per day as compared to 1.1 million liters in the quarter three of last year. Average milk sales during the current quarter was 1.04 million liters per day compared to 0.97 million liters per day in the last year's same quarter. Curd sales during the quarter three was at 271 metric tons per day compared to 231 metric tons per day during the last year, registering a growth of 17% year on year despite the extended monsoon season along with several cyclones in our markets. During the quarter, value-added product revenue surged by 21% year on year to 1,647 million. During this quarter, value-added products contribution of the overall revenue also increased to 25% versus 23% of the last year's same quarter. Despite the challenging business environment and extended monsoon season, Heritage Foods continue to grow and expand its value-added product portfolio. The company has strengthened its balance sheet by achieving debt-free status backed by a healthy cash balance. The company launched several products across categories such as new pack formats of frozen dessert in various flavors and easy-to-digest A2 fresh milk in select markets during this quarter. Now the floor is open for any questions and answers. If you have any queries or feedback post this call, you may please contact us or even the Dickinson World, which is our investor relations agency. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask the question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in terms of the profitability margins, we have seen there is a sharp correction in profitability margin of the dairy business as well as the animal feed business. So, and in fact, we have seen margin correction is higher than even the margin correction reported by some of the peers in South India too. So, is there any one-off or something like that, or it's a normal business section? And we have also seen some of the peers have raised prices now post December. So, how do you see the price hike happening in the sector and for Heritage too? Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Aniruddha, thank you. It is true, margin dropped mainly because of the milk procurement prices at the farm gates. They have increased significantly over the previous year. And during the quarter, we haven't passed on to consumers as it was a winter quarter. Usually the sales will be on lower side of the year. Now in this quarter, we started passing on in most of the markets to restore the margins to a better level. In terms of cattle feed, the margins dropped mainly because of the raw material prices increased. They are also now trying to pass on the prices, price increase to the consumers in this month and coming months. It's, I think, overall industry trend. Quarter three was high raw material prices and quarter four, the consumer price hikes are now going on.
Okay, so has Heritage also raised prices and in spite of a plus season, obviously means there was a plus season in base also, but in spite of plus season, is there a increase in milk procurement prices on a QOQ basis too?
Could you repeat? First thing, yes, we have started increasing the sale prices to consumers. The second part you are saying about the flush season, I couldn't get you fully.
So, there is a flush season, but in spite of flush season, there is a price hike happening on a QOQ basis. So,
yes.
A correct assumption. So, do you see that probably the milk procurement prices, the cycle has turned and after a period of lower procurement prices for a period of 2 years. Now the prices are expected to go up. So will it be a fair assumption to make?
That was low. Now is the time that
it was more a correction issue during this quarter three. Previous year the prices went really low because of the COVID impact. Now they started getting corrected and coming to the normal levels.
Okay, so the margin drop in Q3 is more of a one-off, we can say, or it's a structural issue in terms of milk procurement, higher milk procurement prices now?
No, there is no structural issue. It's a lag between the increase in procurement prices and sale prices. The lag is getting corrected now as the season is changing into favorable season for sales.
Okay. Okay, so and last question. Can you indicate the performance of some of the products that we had introduced, like Alpen V or even the cheese in retail packs that we had introduced? And even we have introduced some variants of paneer also. So overall, how is the performance, as well as the performance of the products launched in JV with Novendi? Yeah, that's it for my side. Thank you.
Sure. Mr. Srideep, the CEO, will take this question.
Yeah, I'll address the questions regarding the products launched in the dairy business. And as far as the JV Novendi is concerned, I request our executive director to comment on those. So as far as the dairy business is concerned, President alluded to that in the opening statement that the growth momentum that we're seeing in value-added products is consolidating, is increasing. This quarter, we have seen 21% growth in value-added products, and that has been the primary driver of growth for us, not just in our core markets, but even in our emerging markets, whether it is Mumbai, Delhi, etc. And these growths have been, as designed by us, primarily led by the five categories that are of focus for us. When I say categories, these are category clusters, I call them. Curd, driven primarily by curd. Consolidated and faster growth we have had in paneer this quarter. We have had significant growth across other categories of focus, such as ghee, beverages, as well as ice cream. We have had setback in terms of volumes in few weeks of the quarter due to inclement weather. You must have read about repeated cyclone attack in the eastern coast of the country. If had it not been for that, our goals would have been even much stronger. The strategies that we have placed put in place for driving growth and value-added product is actually paying results, and we can speak about that if required.
Yeah. Thank you, Shri. This is Ramani here. I'll take the question on the JV. Despite many headwinds in the past three quarters since the launch of our stirred as well as drinkable yogurts, we've seen some good traction in our products. We've seen that especially our stirred yogurts in across all flavors have been very positively accepted across markets. We've also launched newer variants of volume drivers going forward, such as natural plain yogurts. We've also launched our products beyond the six cities where we were present across Maharashtra and Gujarat, in Hyderabad as well as the Bangalore market more recently. And we're seeing some good sales in these markets as well. In fact, I'm happy to say that Hyderabad's sales contribution has increased to 35% of the overall sales in a very short period of time. So we're really excited about the progress that we've made in the last couple of quarters, despite many external challenges, especially in Mumbai market, where the intensity of lockdowns was quite high. In terms of channels, we've actually done pretty well in modern retail format stores, which contribute about 60% of our sales today, but we are also seeing some good traction in GT, especially in Maharashtra market, and now in Hyderabad and Karnataka as well. And going forward, you know, we're just entering the season for yogurts and fermented products. And we are quite excited about the growth momentum that we're seeing going forward. And mainly growth will come on the back of diversifying our channel mix that is continuing to grow in modern retail format stores and growing much faster in general trade stores as well. And that's improving net realization as we see more and more higher margin products and volume driver products such as natural yogurts grow. And, of course, with scale comes cost optimization, and we're really excited about this. We're also involving our consumers in several engagement of, activities in store as well as online. And those campaigns through influencers and chefs have gone through quite positively. And we will also drive growth through increasing our throughputs through existing channels as well as billing frequencies. So we're really excited about the quarters to come, and both partners are very excited about the season to come.
Okay. Thank you. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Binoy Jariwala from Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Could you help me with the selling price per liter?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Selling price per liter of milk. Milk, of course, is sold in multiple variants. Cow milk, buffalo milk, full cream milk, standardized milk, milk, slim milk, double-toned milk, A2 milk. So there are multiple variants of milk, but we can try to give you an average realization.
For this quarter, Q3 selling price per liter is 46.71 rupees, average for milk.
Understood. And how would be the average milk procurement price?
Procurement also, we have cow milk, we have buffalo milk, different percentage of fat and total solids, but we try to give you average.
Average procurement price of whole milk is 38.30 rupees.
38.30 rupees. Okay.
Yeah.
Understood. Sir, you know, this gross margin spread, that is the average realization on milk, sales realization on milk, less the procurement price, that spread has narrowed on a YOY and a sequential basis. What do you think to about 8 and a half rupees per liter? What is the steady state spread that we generally target? Hello.
Yeah, we'll let you understand the gross margin level because it has other elements of costs into it.
Gross margin for this quarter is 21.02%. Okay, 9 months also 22% as of now, 22.41%.
No, I understand the gross margin percentage. I am not asking that. I am trying to understand what would be the steady state. What would be the steady state spread that we aim typically over the milk procurement price? Do we look at 10 rupees, 9 rupees, 8 rupees, 12 rupees? What is the kind of number that we generally work with in our budgeting?
So here, you know, this is Sridhir here. I'll try to address this question from our from the strategic point of view on how we look at the business.
Right.
The two numbers that you read out are telling you only part of the story, because the milk realization of 46.70 rupees that we spoke about is actually milk, which contributes to 70% of our realization. The balance realization comes from about 26% of value-added products and 4% plus from fats, etc. So, as far as we are concerned, we look at consolidated realization from our products, and more our value-added product contribution goes up, the net realization that we have from our business increases. Second, even in terms of milk, the price that our CFO read out is actually only the liquid milk that we procure from our farmers. In addition to that, as with the seasonality and availability, we always we use fats and solids from our stocks, which also needs to be considered. Because it is such a dynamic number, is the reason why we look at EBITDA. And as far as EBITDA and gross margins, these are two numbers that we always track, is concerned, I think we have been historically advising that our target is to remain in the 7.5% to 8% EBITDA margin level, plus or minus 1%. This quarter has been an exception in that sense. Our EBITDA margin has dropped by about a percentage from where we would have wanted it to be. And that is purely because as was asked by the previous investor, procurement prices during flush season went up contrary to what ideally, in flush season prices should have come down, but in this flush season actually it has gone up vis-a-vis last year. And our inability to pass on the prices to a consumer at that immediate moment because of continuous inclement weather and longer winter season is the only reason why we are seeing this. And now that we have passed on the prices, we have taken price increase starting first week of January across all markets. Hardly one or two markets remain for us. In most of the markets, across all product categories, we have taken price increase, and the EBITDA levels should come back to normal, the same 7.5% to 8% that we spoke about.
Fair enough. So this price increase that you have taken beginning January, what is the quantum of this price increase?
Anyway, varies product price, market to market. Approximately, you can say 2 rupees per liter kind of thing. It works out to that.
2 rupees per liter on the liquid milk, right, sir?
All average put together. Some products may give more, some may give less.
Fair enough. Okay. Sir, just wanted to understand your view on the milk procurement, how does it look, the supply, how does it look going forward, and the especially from the price point of view. So we've seen a steep jump in the farm gate prices. Now, do we think that will settle down, or do you see continuing inflation into it? Especially given that, there has been torrential rains in south of India. So has that disturbed the cycle by any chance?
Yeah, we have to watch out and see. It's a very, very fluctuating situation. It is the flush season where prices have gone up, and summer months, definitely there will be fall in the production. When there's a fall in the production, demand increases and prices are bound to go up further.
Understood. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bhargav Buthade from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, what would be the percentage share of curd in our overall value-added product business? And which would be the second biggest category in the value-added product business, and how much its contribution would be?
I think it's the second part of the question.
Percentage of curd and value-added products. And what is the next important, second important, right, Bhargav?
Yeah. Which is the next biggest product in the value-added category, and how much is the revenue contribution?
So, see, the curd actually, the contribution is increasing every quarter. Currently, it stands at about 20 to 21% of the contribution that we have in terms of revenues. And the second biggest in terms of revenues for us would be ghee. as far as the product contribution is concerned. We are also, seeing aggressive growth in paneer. That will be a third category that is very important for us.
Okay. So now that we've launched many product categories in the value-added side, from here on, what would be our strategy? Would it be to sort of increase the acceptance of these products in the market, and that's how we will take our share of value-added up, or we would also be looking at sort of coming up with more new product launches in the coming years as well?
So, see, it's our, I think, we have reiterated that our growth strategy depends on growing the share of value-added products in our portfolio. I wouldn't want to put a number to it, but you will see significant growth in the share and contribution of value-added products quarter on quarter. And this is one line item, one metric that we will continue to report as well. As far as our growth strategies are concerned, primarily we are driven by our growth algorithm, which is very simplistically, if I could put, is based on driving availability as well as demand. Here I'm oversimplifying it for the sake of explaining. As far as availability is concerned, at this point in time, we have multiple strategies in enhancing our availability or increasing our availability of our value-added product categories across markets. Our primary go-to-market strategy has been through our milk distribution channels, but we are aggressively building other channels of distribution. For example, now we have 300-plus strong distributor network, which is building our product reach to A-class grocers and standalone modern trade, in addition to the strong channel that we have in terms of modern trade and e-commerce. So that network is only growing month on month, which is enhancing the growth of our product reach. In addition to that, we are aggressively expanding the presence of our neighborhood distribution stores, and you will see this expanding in most of our non-core markets. Our growth strategy will be based on expanding the network of our neighborhood distribution stores. And at the same time, we are also strengthening the relationship with our customer partners in terms of whether it is our national as well as regional partners in terms of modern trade accounts. We are expanding our presence in e-commerce and aggressively growing in quick commerce. Quick commerce is one channel which is seeing very fast growth, and we are significantly focusing on that to drive our growth. So that's on the availability side. And on the demand side, you will see going forward more and more consumer-centric work coming from our side, not just in terms of product design, where we are getting our products even more sharper and closer to our consumer needs. We are working on several projects which will increase our penetration across consumption occasions through the day. While earlier we were serving two occasions, we are looking at opportunities how we can serve four occasions through the day for the consumers. We are looking at innovations which will cater to consumer needs more sharply. And that starts with understanding consumer needs in terms of several studies we are doing with our consumers and understanding their needs in these occasions. And eventually, finally, a science-based approach in creating products that meet these demands in these occasions at the most affordable price. So that's on the demand side and on the availability side. So this algorithm of driving both demand as well as availability is going to be the primary driver for our growth in value-added products.
And in terms of brand spend, are we looking to significantly up the brand spend? Because our brand spend as of now is sort of fairly low, right, as a percentage of revenue.
Demand, I spoke at a very high level in terms of consumer needs and product design. But of course, all of this is built on the back of effective communication, reaching out to consumer in connecting with them in a more meaningful fashion. And that starts and ends with the brand. And as far as our master brand heritage is concerned, it's something that has very high equity. We are at this point in time also working on developing some sub-brands for some of the sub-categories that we are building. So definitely there is going to be increased investment as far as connecting with the consumers and marketing is concerned.
And lastly, is there any target in the next 3 years, how much contribution we are targeting from this value-added product segment?
So currently we are at 25%. In fact, for the quarter that passed by, we were at 26%, and we were internally we are looking at anything upwards of 35 to 40% as a contribution that we should have in the next 3 years. In fact, at this point in time, we are concluding our 3 year plans and strategies and numbers. And we are looking in the range of value-added products contribution growing up to about 40%.
Okay. Thank you for the elaborate answers and all the very best.
Thank you very much for your questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir, and thanks for taking the question. My question is more of on the strategic front. So, within the previous quarter, we saw a press release from the company stating that we want to foray into non-dairy FMCG. So, if you can elaborate a little more on this, what kind of products are we looking at? Are we also looking at creating new brands? What exactly is our right to win in a non-dairy space? On these aspects, if you could elaborate.
Sure. The launch of those products is still a couple of months away, so I'll not be able to give very specifics about exactly what's the nature of the product that we're going to launch. I hope you'll appreciate that. But broadly, if I tell, this venture is purely in line with expanding our business within the scope of the vision laid out for the organization, which is nourishing every home and our consumers with fresh and healthy products, and empowering our farmers. So the products that we have created will help us achieve this vision even more strongly, both on the consumer side in terms of offering healthy and nutritious products, at the same time strengthening or deepening our relationships with the farmers in the regions where we are procuring our dairy. As far as the core drivers of this business is concerned, we have picked up, we are looking at categories and product segments which will help broad-base our business, but at the same time, that help us leverage our relationships with the existing customers. So we are not going to get into any category, we are not going to get into any product segment which will require us to create new customer segments. Secondly, we are looking at a business which helps us leverage the synergies in our supply chain even better, whether it is in the procurement side or in the sales and supply side. The third thing is, strategically, you spoke about the right to win. As far as the right to win is concerned, we are looking at categories and segments that allow us complementarity to our current portfolio of dairy nutrition. That gives us a I spoke about very specifically building occasions through the day. So earlier while we were with milk, liquid milk, we are just focusing on morning occasion. But with dairy foods, we are now opening multiple occasions through the day. And some of the new products that we are looking at might offer complementarity for those new occasions, and we'll be stronger in those occasions, whether it is in terms of building out our channels or building out our consumer reach. So that's primarily the strategy. But as far as growth numbers and absolute revenues are concerned, for the next foreseeable 2 or 3 years, I should say that it will be predominantly dominated by dairy.
Understood, sir. That clear. So basically, this is not going to be a meaningful contribution in the next 3 years. Maybe it is going to be incremental in your efforts to build on growth.
That is right, sir.
Okay, and won't eat a lot of capital also in terms of branding, communication, building a new route to market, etc.
Yes, and I should also be, you know, I think we had spoken about this earlier as well. We are looking at an asset-light model for this business. We are not looking at any capital investment. We are building this business through a network of third-party manufacturers with whom we will have a strategic partnership. And yes, so from that point of view, there will not be too much of capital allocations for this business.
And margins also, it won't be dilutive to the existing business?
No, absolutely not. In fact, in terms of gross margins, I can only expect this business to contribute more.
Got it, sir. Sir, the second question back to dairy. So you mentioned 38 rupees milk procurement price. While I understand this is like more of a correction that you mentioned, but I haven't seen 38 rupees milk procurement price for, you know, for past several years for Heritage. So what has changed? Is it more of a buffalo milk mix, something structural that has happened here? Are we paying more because of increasing competition? What exactly is happening here?
Earlier also it was there. The buffalo milk mix is what is increasing. The cow milk is available at 30 rupees. Buffalo milk is around 45, 47, 48 rupees. This is no different from any year.
Got it, sir. So, any particular reason why the buffalo milk mix is increasing? Because my sense is that the excess fat we are selling at a very low margin, and that is the reason why our gross margins have declined this quarter.
No, there is no increase in share of buffalo milk. It is more or less same like last 3 years.
Okay. But then 38 rupees, sir, the last whatever years I look at, the milk prices have been in the range of 30 to 35 rupees. So 38, you know, especially in a flush quarter, seems very high. So is it just broad inflation that is catching up on milk also as a category, or is there something structurally changing in terms of competition and hence paying more to the farmers?
None of that. It's all correction only.
Okay, sir. That's all from me. I'll come back in the queue if I have more questions.
Thank you.
Lastly, it was X.
The next question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Anived Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. You know, if you could comment on the growth in the Horeca segment in our key markets, what trends are we seeing currently? You know, what is the contribution of Horeca versus, say, 2 years ago?
Yeah, contribution in Horeca segment is insignificant actually. In fact, we do not do any bulk selling to any of our, we do not have, it's a very, we might be through the retail segment, we are distributors must be selling into smaller restaurants and all of that, but as an institutional sales, it is not at all of any significance to us.
Okay. And you know, couple of quarters we had laid out a plan and a vision, you know, we want to become a 6,000 crore sales company directionally, and you know, then there was lockdown and you know, we didn't have visibility. So is it fair to say next 4 years, assuming you know, we get there with the focus on value-added products and at a steady state 8% EBITDA margin, we can do a 500 crore EBITDA? Is that the direction what we are working on, and is there enough visibility, confidence in the current scenario, or this gets deferred and still, you know, it's at the drawing board stage?
Yes. So, you know, it gives me, actually, I have great confidence that the timeline can be met. I really see no reason why, you know, we in 4 years we cannot achieve that milestone. We had a setback not just us, the industry and several others due to COVID. But that notwithstanding, the foundational work that we have done in the last several quarters is going to help us accelerate the momentum going forward. And you should be able to see that in the next many quarters.
Okay. So next 4 years. So by FY26, we seem to be confident of achieving that as a direction.
Internally, that's what we are working on.
Okay. And you know, you've always maintained, you know, more like a 7.5% and 8% EBITDA is a kind of a steady state margin. Obviously, that goes up or down depending on the procurement price and product prices of dairy. With, you know, the focus now on value-added products, how does that directionally change with scale? Because, you know, you're already saying, you know, we are at 25%. So is it fair to assume this can be directionally better if we achieve that scale over a period of time with value-added products?
Would you like to take that, please?
Yes.
So I think that, you know, I'll request Prasanna also to weigh in on that.
See, we have expenses to build this growth.
Right.
So during the growth period, that additional incremental gains, we want to use it for building the market. Yeah, in the growth, and maybe after that stability, 2026, then you can harvest the gains of this effort, not during the growth phase itself.
Right.
And this is Ramani here. I would like to add and repeat what Mr. Sridhar said earlier, that most of this growth will come from a consumer-centric, razor-sharp approach, which means that we will have to spend on certain resources internally, be it people, be it marketing, as mentioned by one of our participants in the past, etc. So I think the change in focus from just being a milk company to being a consumer-focused FMCG sort of approach will lead us to maintaining probably the same margins. However, we will strive to, you know, as we strive to look at higher value-added products, we will also look at better margins. But realistically speaking, in the near future at least, we believe this will be the trend.
Right. And in our endeavor to, you know, become a whole-day consumption kind of a play for the consumer, these products, which, you know, are still in the pipeline, should happen, say, by Diwali of this year, in the next 12 months. How are we looking at new product to, you know, increase our wallet share from consumers?
Yeah. So this is Sridhar here, if I may.
Yeah.
So we have, you must have observed this, that we have been launching products in every quarter. In every quarter, we have some new news. And the idea is we are not, like, you know, saving a launch for a day, and we look at a sequential launch of our products. So we have a good, strong pipeline, and some of the new products that we'll be working on will start hitting in next quarter itself. In fact, in quarter four. And there'll be some in quarter one of next financial year, etc., etc. So there'll be continuous new product launches that you will see.
Fine. So it's an ongoing effort, and that will continue. Understood. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandy Mehta from Value Investment Principles. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. As a shareholder, I must say that I'm a little concerned that in your presentation for the quarter, as well as your prepared comments, there was no explanation of why the earnings and the margins were down. So in your presentation for the quarter, you talked about the highlights, the positives, but with margins down quite substantially and earnings down, there was no explanation of why that was or whether it was temporary. I think you've answered a lot of those questions on the call. My question to you is, you know, you are a net cash company right now, and you're generating a lot of free cash flow. What about dividends? You know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of CapEx requirements. Can we expect, as the cash piles up and you're generating this free cash flow, can we expect higher dividends going forward? Thank you.
I can take that question. This is Ramani. So as you must have noticed, the closing cash and cash equivalents was about 65 crores-ish. What I want to clarify here is that about 80% of that cash is required for milk payments in the first week of the following month itself towards our farmers, and in the form of incentives and salaries for employees. So really, there's only about 15%-20% of that which is available, which is also required for other working capital requirements, also including purchase of some commodities such as milk powder, etc. Coming to the question on dividend policy, which is already up in, on our website, it is a very clear policy, and the board takes a decision on that depending on what resources are required for growth and sustenance of the business, and that is something that the board will review from time to time and recommend.
You know, the dividend policy, earlier the company had debt, but now that you are in a net cash position, I understand that there are working capital requirements, but I presume that cash will continue to increase. So is it, you know, will the board at some point, is it likely to increase the payout ratio? What is the CEO's thoughts on that, please? Thank you.
I think the board has different options in mind, and we'll keep you posted as and when, you know, we have some decision or thought process about it from the board.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Supplement, already in this year, I think interim dividend has been announced, keeping that in view.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Disha Sheth from Anvil Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, when you mentioned that the procurement price is at 38.3 and it's corrected, so the trend of 38 plus rupees should stay, or it should correct it back to around 35, 34 level? And second question, I wanted to ask that our vision of 6,000 crore in next 4 years and with 40% value add, which requires a CAGR of 24%, then on value-added products, which is just 25 right now, it will be 32% compounded growth if we see. So, in your view, is that achievable in the next 4 years, as it requires a very high growth rate? And currently, we are growing at around 12 to 15%.
Yeah, on the procurement prices, yes, it was more of a correction as I explained earlier. And during this quarter, we would have typically higher share of buffalo milk compared to cow milk, as this is the season for buffalo.
And the growth of value-added products going forward, you're right, the growth in value-added products needs to be high, and we've seen high growth north of 30% in the past, you know, barring the last 1.5 to 2 years because of external factors. And we are confident we will be able to achieve those growths from our star product, which is curd, and also from a more diversified set of value-added products such as paneer, ghee, beverages, drinkables, dairy foods, etc.
The procurement price, sorry, I didn't get. The 30 should correct to 35 level. Is that what you meant? In Q4 onwards? Hello?
Yes, that's very clear. It is. 30, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so 38 rupees per liter should correct to 35 rupees per liter for Q4. Is that what you mean?
No, no, no. It was actually reversed. It moved up during the quarter three, and it may move up further in the summer. But okay, in future, there will be some change in the ratio of buffalo and cow. In summer month, cow milk ratio will increase, buffalo milk will come down. So that would lead to some amount of correction again.
Okay, okay, okay. Got it, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Rao. Good evening, Mr. Bramini. Mrs. Bramini. Two questions. The first question is on top of my mind. 2 quarters before, I did ask the question on 1D JV. I hope by now you have some idea how this business looks like next 2 to 3 years. And quick feedback, the products what has gone into Gujarat and Maharashtra market, what is the learning, what is the size and scale which can expect, or if you can share any some commercials around that business now.
Sure. This is Dami here. I sort of explained this in length in the beginning, but happy to go through it again. So as you know, the products have been launched during sort of the peak of, you know, the second wave of COVID in the Maharashtra area. But we've seen some very good traction, especially in stirred yogurts, and we've seen that all flavors have done well. I'm also happy to mention that we've expanded our range of stirred yogurts into plain natural yogurts as well, in bigger pack sizes as well as existing pack sizes. We've also launched our products across newer markets, namely Hyderabad as well as Bangalore, and we're seeing very good traction within a very short period of time. We are present across key modern retail format stores. We've also introduced the products across e-commerce channels and e-commerce players. And now we're going through the growth phase of not just improving our distribution across these players, but also a general trade, which will lead to better margins, better growth going forward. And that's what we're really looking forward to. And since we're just entering the summer season, we believe that this season will be an actual measure of our sales. And we're quite excited about the season as well as the next FY as partners of the team.
Thank you. That's helpful. Just wanted to understand, what is the quarter run rate we are expecting in next 2-3 quarters?
Can you repeat, please? It's a bit blurry.
What I'm asking, sir, what is the quarter revenue run rate we are expecting after 2 quarters?
Yeah, I think I can share that we are able to increase our revenues by 2.5 to 3 times in the next couple of quarters to come, especially because, like I said, we're entering the season and we're looking forward to growth in these new markets as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. My second and last question is on, in between, we were addressing that we are trying to enter into the new product categories and adjacencies. Just more curious to look around, what are the adjacencies which you're looking? Is it related to dairy or it is non-dairy, completely value chain which we are developing? And more importantly, if you are getting into non-dairy, how are you going to build the distribution channel? I mean, modern trade is one of the common parlance, which is very helpful, but building a different channel will take time. So that's the question which I have.
So thank you for that question. Some parts of this question we had already addressed. I'll repeat that just for the benefit of clarifying. We will have innovations both on the dairy side as well as on the non-dairy side. In fact, I had mentioned that in terms of growth numbers, in terms of absolute revenue additions, in the next couple of years or the foreseeable future, bulk of it will come from dairy. So it is not that the innovations are going to happen only in non-dairy foods, but it will happen significantly in dairy foods as well. And in dairy foods, dairy side of the business, we have looked at category clusters where we have an advantage to serve our consumers as far as nutrition is concerned. And that makes business sense for us in terms of profitability. And these, if I can largely cluster them, would be food opportunities in terms of dairy-based food opportunities, like whether it is curd, paneer, or many other sub-segments that make part of this, creating more occasions for consumers through the day. The other large dairy segment in which, dairy category cluster in which you will see a lot of innovations from us is in the beverages space. And beverages at this point in time, most of the dairy companies have traditional dairy beverages, whereas we may be looking at science-based new innovative beverage formats going forward. So likewise, and we are looking at other categories like ice cream, frozen dessert and all that, but bulk of our dairy growth will come from food occasions as well as drinkables. Similarly, in the non-dairy space, I spoke to you about categories which create complementarity as far as our dairy business is concerned, both in terms of channel access as well as consumer occasions. So we do not see any challenge at this point in time in building out that business. I mentioned about 300 odd distributors that we have very recently appointed and aggressively growing that number in terms of getting us reach of distribution to grocery channels, standalone modern trade, national modern trade, regional modern trade accounts, etc. These are the same channels which will sell our dairy products as well as the food, complementary food products that we are planning to enter. So we will have, I really do not see any challenge at all in that being an additional burden on us. In fact, we are very particular that we do not want to create anything that requires any unique or special investment or focus.
Mr. Pardeshi, request you to join the queue for any follow-up. Thank you. Also, participants are requested to limit your question to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-ups. The next question is on the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just another question from me. If you could just help me with your current geographical mix in terms of Hyderabad, rest of AP and Telangana, northern India, rest of India, or any other geography which is gaining importance in the current mix?
We have a wide footprint. In fact, we are present with sales offices across 11 states in the country, and in fact, beyond many more number of states through modern trade channel networks, through wholesale partners. And this is primarily spread across, Telangana, Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Kerala, Maharashtra, Delhi, Haryana, Punjab. So we have quite a spread out market as far as our product presence distribution is concerned.
My question was more on the revenue mix, sir. Like, how much does it come from Hyderabad today, rest of AP and Telangana, northern India, rest of India, any other market which is of prominence now?
Sameer, we'll share with you one to one. This is becoming an issue for us.
Okay, no problem, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Siddharth Bhattacharya from Anvil Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Siddharth. Good evening.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Sir, I wanted to ask and inquire about the competitive intensity on ground. So in terms of milk procurement, how has that trend emerged post this COVID phase?
During the first wave and second wave, there was an issue for farmers to sell their milk. Not many takers were there. So those who were organized companies like ours picked up all the milk our farmers gave, and it has created surplus scenario, and we had to convert the milk into powder and hold it. That was the first wave, second wave. But the third wave, this came in the with less impact on the movement of people or movement of goods or markets. So therefore, there is no issue in terms of procurement or marketing challenges for the farmers now in this third wave. So all the players, organized, unorganized, cooperatives, everyone is active and procuring well. And most of the SMP stocks got exported before the commencement of the flush season. So there's a demand for milk powder also continually growing. Therefore, currently, there is no issue in terms of farmers for selling their milk. Availability, etc. is all good. Competition is also good. All are active.
Okay. So just an associated question. So could it be that there could be increased competition in terms of offering better prices for raw milk in the coming quarter by your competitors and the cooperatives?
Yeah, we will also offer, not only competitor, we are also increasing farmer price last 2 months, 3 months. Every month we have been increasing price to farmers. There was a lag in passing on that increase to consumers. That is also happening now. So the coming month, seeing the overall scenario, as the lactation comes down naturally from the animal by March, and from April summer's temperatures will increase, production will fall, demand will increase, prices will also increase. That's a natural phenomena. All will follow, including us.
And you are not seeing any challenge in passing on the prices. It's not affecting demand for your product, right?
There was a delay in passing on, as earlier Sridip explained. We had gone through severe cyclones in November. Rains extended into December. There was colder winter, and Omicron hit in between. So that there was some delay in passing on the increased costs. But now the season is changing. The temperatures are changing. Rains are over. So passing on started, and it will be complete by end of January or so in all the rest of the markets also.
And it is being absorbed easily, if I conclude.
Sorry?
It is being absorbed easily by the consumers, as in there is no fall in volumes for you due to increased prices, right?
Consumers have no choice. It's not easily absorbing. What did you do when petrol prices went up from 70 rupees to 110 rupees? Did you not buy petrol?
Correct. Got that, sir. Thank you so much for that insight, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Dr. M. Sambashivara for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Brahmini, would you like to continue?
Yeah. Sure. Thank you so much to our valuable participants for all your discussions, feedback, and questions. And I'd like to reiterate that despite harsh external conditions of monsoon, a colder season, a colder extended winter, as well as the onset of the so-called third wave of COVID, we've been able to show some interesting growth, especially on the back of growth of value-added products. We as a company, as Heritage Foods and management, stay committed to our stakeholders and our vision of delivering fresh and healthy products to our consumers on a daily basis and empowering our farmer. And this is coming through a specific consumer-centric approach, as mentioned during our call, and also by tightening our relationship with the farmers that we've had over the past 3 decades. During the last 1.5 to 2 years, we've continued to do extensive activities and roll out loaning, subsidized cattle feed, subsidized insurance for animals, etc. And we haven't stopped doing all these empowerment activities with our farmers. In fact, we've also launched an app called the Vet Plus app, which now has 80,000 plus unique registered users. We are always open to answering questions.
Thank you very much. We thank everyone for joining us today for this call. In case of any further questions, clarifications, suggestions, or feedback, you can connect with Mr. Umkant Barik, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, Heritage Foods or Dickinson World. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Heritage Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.